You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
What is happening to me?
Did you miss me, Spidey?
I'm losing my mind. I am totally out of control. I gotta fix whatever this is right now.
Final semester, MIT.
Dad, who do you think is actually watching these?
Maybe someone.
Okay, well, bye, someone.
What the?
Dr. Banner, you found a way to suppress mutating DNA, right?
If you stimulate this off, run.
So could you get rid of the bad aspects but keep the good?
How would you decide what parts of nature are good or bad?
Well, sorry about that.
You're not one of my students, are you?
It appears we're faced with a threat we can't control. One we can't even see. You're the only one who's immune to it. You're the only one who can sense it.
What do you think they're looking for?
Oh, see, you stumbled across my board. I'm not one of those weirdos, I swear.
He's a little weird. I'm MJ.
You two don't know each other?
Yo, Spider-Man.
You okay?
Did you get rid of that monster inside you?
I think I might go see how MJ's doing.
You're not gonna get away with this.
But he might.
I didn't know you could get that big. But you're in danger. You just have to trust me.
Fine.
This whole thing can get really scary.
Who the hell is that?
Who the hell are you?
Frank, please.
I don't have anywhere else to go.
By the people who love you, just gonna let him go by himself? Love you because you're you.
If you're gonna do something, you better do it now.
Never forget that. No matter how powerful you become.
I miss you, mate. Huh. All right, just give me a sec. Give me a sec. I'm not in high school anymore. Oh. Did you stretch? Are you a big stretcher? It's so good for you. You ready?
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. We are here finally getting ourselves stretched out for the show. Hello. My name is Dion. I'm joined tonight by Quinny, Beck, Jill, and myself.
Hey!
And everyone in the chat. Hello!
Yay. Look at that face that we haven't seen for a while. Hello and welcome back.
Yeah.
Hi, Jill.
Oh, okay.
I was here last week. I think he's talking about you.
Oh, of course. Silly me. Silly me. Hi, friends.
Hello.
Thank you for having me. Always lovely to be here.
Yeah. It's nice to have.
Always
nice to have
lovely
a,
to have a back.
It is. And also nice to have a full house. It's always fun.
Yes, Pete has abandoned us for work, so.
Yeah, how dare she? Yeah. How dare she?
She's just got so much, she's just so popular and cool. And
yeah, she's trying to win another Emmy, so.
she's just popular and cool. Emmys for and on meetings until like midnight every day forever. You know, sure, whatever. Who knows?
But we love you anyway, Pete.
She's out there. She's watching a Spider-Man.
Yeah,
she's
she did
a brand
the homework.
New day.
Yeah,
it's been out. We've seen it. We've all seen it. We've all done the homework. Have we all done the homework? Yes.
Yes.
Has everyone in chat done the homework?
Chat?
Have you? The looks of it, a few people have.
Yeah, great. There are a couple of people who are like, I haven't done the homework and I'm going to bugger off during spoilers. And I'm like, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Big ones.
Fucking good luck avoiding them on the internet, though, because the internet has been fucking zero chill about this film.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of gave it the weekend and then they're like, oh, we're just going to tell you who this character is now.
Oh, they gave it till fucking Saturday and I started to see shit popping up.
Damn.
I feel like this Marvel movie has had the biggest kind of spoiler veil over it of any Marvel movie for a while. And it's really interesting that they made the choice to give it to a Tom Holland movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and a Mark Ruffalo movie.
Yes. Both notorious spoilers. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
How, How many Spider-Man movies has there been now?
Seven.
This is
the seventh movie that Spider-Man has appeared in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No, I think you're forgetting a few, though, Quiddy. I didn't ask about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, how many Spider-Man fucking movies have we had?
Oh, okay, right. You're including all of the other ones? Okay, so there were a couple of TV movies in the 70s with, what's his name?
Quiddy's going deep.
You challenge me, I fucking meet you.
It's fair. Do you want to be here all night? Let's go.
The one with the thick, ropey spider webs.
Where are you going with this?
No, there were like it was like fucking Coke can sized rope that he used to like throw out of his wrist.
Yes, Gauntlets. Nicholas Hammond in the 70s, couple of TV movies, and then there were the Tobey Maguire films, of which there were
three.
And then the Andrew Garfield films, which there were two.
Andrew Garfield. Okay.
And then seven films that Tom Holland has been in as Spider-Man.
Are you including the
Sure, but they're not Spider-Man films.
Starting with Civil War.
It's not a Spider-Man film.
He's only had four.
But if we're surely, including you not films count that Spider-Man has appeared in, then that's a much longer list.
So anyway, I'm...
Yes, okay.
Leaving in 50 minutes.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is... Good game, Angel.
All I'm saying is there's been quite a lot of fucking Spider-Man films, standalones, animated, all sorts. There's been a lot.
And it's interesting that I've seen a lot of discourse actually around this being the moment where Tom has overtaken, let's say, Toby. Toby, I think, in the scheme of things, has previously been the Spidey. And a lot of people are seeing this movie as the moment where he overtakes, because this is the fourth, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
In his movie
standalone
series.
Films, yeah.
Yeah, his standalones. But the reality is that he's been Spidey for a much longer time than Toby was.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he like it's now the Holland Spider. Isn't that what you can you call it? A Dutch Spider, as you were. he's now the one.
I read about that in a book once. You don't want to do it.
I saw a video of it. It was very disturbing. But yeah, like he's now Spider-Man and everyone else is Spider-ish. Is that fair enough to say? Mm. Is that kind of what we're going with?
But now I think they can like all be Spider-Man, and that's the great thing about our multiverse that is the Marvel universe, is that they can all fill their little role as their own spider person.
Damn straight.
So
Jill, you make a good point. What do we like about the film? What do we not like about the film? And also, do we need to have some kind of snoppy?
Yes, let's find out what this one was specifically about.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what's the stupid accent?
Da-da-da. I've gone too early. Jonah Jameson. No, we did that one already.
Yeah,
did we?
In this movie.
Yeah, there is no Joe Jenga.
Your best gruff Berenthal voice.
Yeah. Hey,
Punisher. Yes.
Actually, okay, full Punisher. One thing I do say that I love about this is that anytime Spidey was talking to the Punisher, he went full New York. Like the accent went full New York only when he was talking to the Punisher. And I love that.
Come on, Frank, what are you doing? What do you mean?
What are you doing, kid?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Well,
there is a call for a soothing Aunt May.
I don't think I'm that good. Let's be honest.
So stick with
also, Aunt May passed away in the last movie. So
did she?
We don't have an Aunt May.
I actually forgot. I totally forgot she died. I was watching. I'm like, oh yeah, she did die.
I forgot she did.
Wow. Okay. Have I got a musical accompaniment of some description?
Yes, you've got it there. It's still in the back.
Okay. Okay, kid, it's a brand new day for Peter Parker. Fighting crime full-time as Spider-Man in a world that doesn't fucking remember him. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't swear, it's PG-50. And the pressure of seeing his old friends move on without him sparks a change in Peter he may not have the power to control. But the transformation might also be the only thing that can stop a shocking new threat to the city and those that he loves. A powerful villain no one can even see. You know, kid, the world may have forgotten Peter Parker, but he hasn't forgotten them.
Okay.
Is the villain capitalism?
Yeah, always. Every time, it will always be.
The villain is burnout. Is overwork.
That hits a little close to home.
Yeah. I need Spider-Man right about now.
Yeah. I think collectively we're all Spider-Man at the moment, which is like, no, if I just keep working and not stopping for anything, it will be okay, yeah? Anyway, got to keep busy, got to keep moving, got to keep doing things.
Yeah, three years where, you know, the people have forgotten that I'm a real person and not just a job. 3 years, fuck, what I wouldn't give for a little less than that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, so do we all have a nice time with this, the fourth installment of the Holland vs. Spider-Man?
Yeah, it wasn't bad, actually. I got to say, I don't think I was particularly looking forward to it based on some of the trailers that I saw that was very like, oh, God, we're going the dark and gritty route.
Yeah.
And this was my fear, was we obviously needed to expand beyond Spider-Boy.
Mm-hmm.
We were definitely doing a bit of a shift into a more grown-up Spider-Man, which I'm glad they're doing, because it's gotten to the point now where Tom as an actor has grown and matured so that he no longer passes even anywhere near a teenager. And that was always a big problem for me in the old Spider movies, let's say Tobey Maguire's movies, where he looking like a 35-year-old in high school. Like, how many times have you been held back, friend?
He was pulling the classic CW, we're all 35 playing 17.
Yeah. he was very Luke Perry.
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas Tom,
your hair's receding, man. What's going on?
Tom Spider-Man has always felt more like he was a kid. And I bought it a lot more. But he's not quite cutting that these days. And so I was hoping that they'd move away from that, but I was worried that they'd go a bit DC on us and go super dark. And I agree, Jill, it was not as dark as
it was giving emo in the trailers. And I was like, the only emo Spider-Man I want is like Finger Guns Maguire. Like,
yep, we all know that that's the best Spider-Man. Yeah, look, I'm on the same line as you, Jill. I quite enjoyed it. In fact, I'm going to go a little bit further than that and say I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a whole bunch of fun. I laughed a lot many of the times all the way through it, but also I thought the fucking action beats were kick-ass. Like, this is Dustin Daniel Cretton, who's the director of Shang-Chi and Wonder Man and a bunch of other stuff.
Oh my God, and the upcoming Naruto TV series, in case nobody has heard about that.
I had no idea.
I was blissfully unaware that that was even a thing.
Yeah, welcome to hell. We're doing live action Naruto.
Of course, is it Netflix? Of course it's fucking Netflix.
Who knows?
I mean, as long as they get the run right, no one cares.
Yeah. But like, I think his whole thing is that he was like, okay, I'm going to use the kind of stunt crews that I'm used to working with in Hong Kong cinema and stuff.
Yeah.
So we get some shit hot, fucking well choreographed fight sequences. And I got to say, I think this is the Spidey that, you know, we've seen in the games and everything, that flipping everywhere, like the movement of him in these fights and battles and stuff. Fucking very fun.
There is,
and
a,
I think that it's incredible that they have an actor. Can you tell I like Tom Holland?
I like that we haven't seen you in how many years, but it's a Tom Holland film. You're like, hi, I'll come.
I fucking love Tom Holland. Hi. No, I love that they wanted to showcase some of those covers from the early Spider-Man comic books, and they have key moments. This isn't a spoiler because it's just basically the opening sequence.
The montage.
Yeah, they highlight scenes that get filmed in super fast motion so that they can slow them right down.
140 frames per second, which is insane.
Exactly. It's nuts. And they can slow it right down and have it be exactly the same as the comic book cover, just brought to life, and it looks incredible. And it's in so the behind the scenes, you can actually see that it is Tom, even with the mask on, who is doing all of the movements for those stunts to make those comic covers happen, because he genuinely cared about making that art moment himself as well, which is really
except
lovely.
For the bits were very, very obviously just taken from the Insomniac games and put into, like, a lot of the swinging, the going through the first person view and all that kind of stuff is very much like the Spider-Man Insomniac games. Did we play any of those?
But I would say that the Insomniac games are pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad.
Okay, right.
I'm not saying it's bad.
Quinny's ready to fight.
Yeah, I know. This is great. Everyone's coming out real punchy, and I'm like, oh, okay. And people are like, well, what are you going to do for me?
I mean, we've heard, like, I mean, after watching it, you know, we got a message from both Beck and Dion, and I believe, Dion, what was your comment?
It was certainly a film. Yes. I was like, yes, that was definitely a film.
I went and saw it again the next day.
Hey.
Sure.
With me.
Yes.
Yeah. We're all entitled to our opinions or like likes and loves of this. And tell me more of why and fun stuff. Like, I want to know.
Look, I will say that the bar for me was very high. Okay. I have never come out of a Tom Holland Spider-Man film and been disappointed and, you know, not had fun during it. There have been plot holes in some of them, which if I go back and I look at more critically, I'm like, some issues. This movie was fun. I don't think it's anywhere near the top of the Tom Holland Spider movie list, though, for me.
I would agree.
In fact, I think it's probably at the bottom, but still better.
See, I can't go with that one.
I think it's still better than a lot of the other Spider movies. I would definitely recommend this over some of the Tobys and the Andrew movies.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. That's a tricky one, because there's some Tobys that are great. There's some Andrews that are great, but at the same time, yeah. Anyway, let's not try and bring them into it. Otherwise we are going to be comparing fucking spider people all night.
Yeah. No. And then Jill will, like, quite literally implode.
Yeah.
We're talking about Brand New Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you about something that I was apprehensive about going into, but in retrospect really enjoyed. And that is Spider-Man, well, not just Spider-Man, but Peter being alone. And that was kind of throwing me, because it was like the whole reason why a lot of his films have worked previously, because there was a team dynamic. He was surrounded by friends and family that aided him, whether that be Spider-Man or Peter. And this was going to be very much like him now out on his own with nobody, because literally the whole world has forgotten who Peter Parker is. So I was like a bit worried that, you know, it was going down that emo route and it was going to be a bit boring and maybe a bit sad boy. But it kind of actually really reminded me of the whole Peter Parker arc throughout the comic books, where he was doing this all by himself and he was living alone in an apartment and flying out the window as Spider-Man and didn't have anybody to come home with and share that secret. So it was kind of nice to, like Beck said, see this grown-up version of our Spider-Boy becoming the Spider-Man, albeit not quite our photographer yet, but, you know, kind of getting
I
to that
don't
point.
Miss that.
You don't miss that? You don't miss
I don't
daily,
miss that.
The,
no.
Yeah, Daily Bugle.
But what I have been enjoying is what feels like a more natural transition into a much more quippy, smart aleck side of Spider-Man that we didn't have in the earlier of these movies, as he was still kind of getting comfortable being a superhero. He's now had a couple of years to just do that. Mm-hmm. And he knows what he's doing. He's on top of things and he has the opportunity to play a little bit more with his quips. And I've always loved that about Spidey in the comics, that he is big on the one-liners. And I felt more of that in this movie, which was great.
Yeah. And I like that we kind of build out a different kind of ensemble, like you're saying, Jill, like, you know, he's working alone, but now he's made new connections with DeWolf and also with characters that I probably shouldn't talk about because we need to hold them off for spoilers. But, you know, they're like, he's clearly still kind of doing things in a group, but he just doesn't have that central tying him to things. Like, he doesn't have
a
the man
in the chair. System.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I it is interesting seeing him. And also I like that it gives us a 3 or whatever, however many year gap where we can basically go, okay, lots of stories have happened in there. You know, we've seen him take out a bunch of different villains. So we can now kind of assume very comfortably there is a whole rogues gallery that could exist. And apparently there was stuff shot or at least planned with like a couple of big fights with like full Sinister Six style rogues gallery that they just went too big, not gonna do it on this budget. So but in the end we got the thing that we got at the start, which was all of the single sort of images.
Yeah
plus that's... one of the Sinister Six is dead, right?
Which one?
Is Mysterio dead?
Yes.
He was killed, right? I'm not misremembering that.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but I mean, this is Marvel.
Yeah, sure. No one
six really could be anybody.
Yeah.
But you only need six people to be sinister.
You just pick six people off the street who look a bit shifty and put them in the costume.
Exactly.
You're good.
Exactly.
Sure. That's how.
Another
that's
character.
How it works.
I don't believe that this is a spoiler because he is featured in the trailer. The Punisher. Features in this film. I have to say, after seeing his one last kill or whatever fuck that special was called, that was absolute garbage. This was a much better character arc for Frank in this film.
I haven't seen any of his previous stuff because I don't watch the TV series.
Right.
I haven't encountered the Punisher in this Marvel cinematic universe system yet.
Right.
So this was my first introduction, and I didn't know if I missed some connections. I enjoyed the character.
Good.
Okay. It didn't feel like the Punisher that I knew previously.
No, that's
but I
the
liked
thing.
This Punisher a lot.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
Mm. And I didn't feel like he was too far away from the Punisher that we've seen in the series. Like,
no, not at all. But we kind of get to see a fun side where he's like interacting with somebody that's a bit younger than him and maybe not as jaded as like we see him in Daredevil where, you know, it's just who can outgruff each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, where was Daredevil? Come on.
He was in the cuck chair, man. He got left out of this one.
Wow.
Yeah, didn't need a lawyer this time around.
He's already been in one Spidey film. You only get one.
Yeah, you only get one. Yep.
Damn.
I mean, I did have thoughts going in that maybe he was going to be in there. Like there was, you know, lots of talk about the fact that it had the hand in it and everything like that, which we've seen in the trailers. I was like, okay, well, they're traditionally kind of up against Daredevil. And I was like, oh, come on.
Why is Spider-Man fighting the hand? That doesn't go in Spider-Man. I mean, yeah.
I feel like we need to let go of some of our preconceived comic book notions and let stories be told.
Do you not think that everyone has already done that? Like, no one who is...
Apparently not.
Because, like... I mean, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe in whatever giant rat nest of storylines and movies and series and everything that it has become nowadays is so vastly different from anything that was written down is just kind of like, you just have to go with it. It's a separate entity. But I was just also like, oh man, why are the hand there? He doesn't have to fight them, you know.
I had no problem with the hand being there. I mean, like in this version, damage control is, you know, essentially ice. In the comics, they're a bunch of fucking losers.
Yeah.
I mean, is ICE not a bunch of fucking losers?
I'm sorry. Good point. Well made. Like,
I mean, you know.
I don't even feel like that's terribly big of me to reveal that ICE is a bunch of fucking losers.
I don't know
sorry
if that's
about it.
I don't know if that's a check a checkbox on the application form, but who am I
Are
kidding?
Are you a fucking loser? Yes. Oh,
who am I kidding? ICE doesn't have an application form.
Here's your ill-fitting tack vest.
Yeah, it's an ill-fitting tack vest and a gun.
Suck it in, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You go harass a school. Bye. Anyway.
Yeah.
It is, and I think I mentioned this to Quinny as well when we watched the movie. It's interesting to see the Marvel Universe constantly turn the good guy organizations into bad guys.
Yeah. I mean, but then again, there are no good guy organizations, are there? Apart from the Avengers. But now they're run by the government.
And even.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess S.H.I.E.L.D. technically stayed kind of good guys, kind of, but kind not of? Really.
No, they got co-opted.
They were good guys on the surface, but they're actually run by Hydra, so.
Yeah, but yeah, but, yeah. But then once they got rid of all the Hydra, didn't they come back? Was there not did a S.H.I.E.L.D. at the end?
Did you all forget about the Captain America movie where the president was the Hulk?
Like, yes.
What we're learning is you can't trust corporations.
Yes.
That's
yes.
No.
All the government. Yeah. Yes, it's a phrase. It's called state capture. Go look it up. It'll make you terrified.
So, did we think it was too long?
Oh, yes. 100%.
Smidgy ditch? Just a little?
Smidgy ditch.
It was too long.
Yeah.
Right.
It went on for
Yeah, I mean, there was a definite lull before the third act, and I was like, oh, this kind of feels like the movie's wrapping up. Wrong. We're here for another 45 minutes. I'm like, shit, okay.
Yep.
Had the exact same experience, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, no, not angst.
It's like, oh, we're just going to diverge the plot a little bit and follow this thing over here.
I mean, we established that Peter Parker was kind of creepily stalking his ex-friends, and then we just leant into that. For a long while, and you're like, okay, it's like you know it's creepy. He's like, yeah, I know it's creepy, I'm doing it anyway.
There are a lot of things that happen after that point, though, that I think are still important that I won't get into until we get into spoilers.
Yes.
But some of my favorite moments do happen after the very Sound of Music. Oh, that's the ending. Oh no, they still have to escape the Nazis.
Like, I understand. Finally. Finally.
the thing that I say about the length of it, and I agree, I think it is too long. Like it's sort of, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes or something like that. It's a
2 hours 15.
Oh, is it 2:15? Right. Okay. Still, it's a lot of film.
Yeah.
But the thing that I was trying to work out as I was thinking back over it is like, I don't know what you can't. Like I don't know because all of it is
Spider-Man Byron and I have worked out exactly what you cut, so don't worry, we can get into that.
Yeah. Okay. Because
we did some editing of our own in our little.
Nice. Well, that's tradition here. It's like after we review the movie, we tell everybody how we would have done it.
Yeah, exactly. And made it so much more entertaining and better and fast. Yeah.
Sure.
Mm. And I'm with you, Casper. I like that they gave it time to breathe. But that said, yeah, there was a point where I'm like, okay, we're kind of wrapping it up, yeah. But at the same time, I know that we're not because there's too much plot shit that hasn't been dealt with yet.
And what point are you doing breath work and what time are you just having a nap?
Yeah.
Come on, man. You fell asleep during the yoga class. It's okay.
It's not as bad as Lord of the Rings.
You're meant to fall asleep.
Can we look with a lot of like the things that I enjoyed with it? It's always nice watching Zendaya and Tom Holland, you know, do what they are best known for, which is both being married on screen and off screen. But it's nice to watch them. They were good. It's a bunch of familiar characters. It had really nice action beats. Like I will agree with you. It had some great kind of moments. Things I didn't like about it though, very quickly, no spoilers. It went down, it just kept suggesting things in a plot wise and then refusing to elaborate or resolve them, which was incredibly frustrating because, I was watching, I'm like, oh, they're going to go down this road or they're going to do that or they're going to set this up and this is going to be interesting. And it's like, nah.
We're just going to kind of ignore that or do it in a way that was felt like it was pulling back a lot.
Do you have an example that doesn't have a spoiler?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think Jill and I are both going,
sure, like, sure, sure. There's the bit where, like, he's changing, he's adapting. He gets the old black eye dragon motif. And that
blue eyes white dragon.
Exactly. super angry Spider-Man that has more power because, you know, like they're discussing the genetics and all of that kind of stuff. And then it just kind of goes away. Like, they don't really resolve it by the end of the movie. You're like, oh, they gave it as a thing that does it, and he's got a magic button, and he goes, and then
I agree. I would argue that, like, the whole point of that was, like, him trying to suppress that power, but then realizing that he should just accept it, and then it becomes.
I feel like we're verging on spoilers.
Yeah.
Heavily here.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but it's like there's something that you like ignore about yourself because you think it's a flaw, but if you actually like
embrace it.
Embrace it. Thank you, Quinny. Yeah. Then you can realize that it's a strength.
Yeah.
Sometimes though, if that part of you is being a mass murderer, you should suppress it. Like, we need to be a bit.
Who was doing that?
Like,
he kind of was going a bit like
about,
you know,
what we're leaning into.
No rage.
I don't
think we have too many mass murderers watching this.
I don't
this.
Think anybody was.
It's
doing
not
mass murder.
Okay.
And just another spoiler. I feel like it non spoilery thing. It was just I feel like it had too many pieces in it that didn't gel across the whole thing, and we lost track of what we're going for. It set up a really solid movie about, like, we're just going to talk about a very narrow focus of this is Spider-Man, this is what he's been doing, he's going through his own shit, let's follow him and go for it. And it just kept throwing bits and people and stuff in that I was like, this is unnecessary. I don't need this.
Dion just wanted to watch Spider-Man have a nice time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fair enough.
And that's okay.
That's totally fine.
The resolution of a couple of those kind of complex narrative points I thought was done quite well. And I got what they were doing, and they were very much referencing a whole bunch of like things that were on the comics and just trying to push stuff together. Like the Punisher motif that went through was an interesting callback and all that kind of stuff. So I thought it was good, but overall I was just sitting there going, this is a bit too complicated. It's a bit overlong. I don't really know where they're going. And then by the end of it, I'm like, oh,
nowhere.
That was a film.
Yeah.
Thanks, Spider-Man.
Yeah, whereas I guess I've found myself like, you know, I like being surprised, and I like when something will lead me down a particular path and then it kind of swerves at the end. It's like, hey, not that. And I'm like, wasn't expecting that. Okay, cool. Mm. So I found myself when I got to the end, like, you know, Beck and Byron were both going, hey, what do you think's going to happen? And I laid a bunch of things out and I was wrong on 99% of them. And that makes me happy because I'm like, I would have been pissy if I'd been like, you know, gotten it right all the way.
Yeah.
You know, I like the, you know, I think I got one maybe, right? But who the fuck knows? Yeah. And I mean, there is also that thing, I guess there's a danger of setting up expectations. You know, going, okay, I expect it to be this thing. I think it's going to be this thing. And then if it's not, you're like, oh.
Sure. So, I mean, it's very much a change as well of trying to go, look, the first three Spider-Man films we had were all about young man trying to grow up very quickly and having a bunch of trauma that is all there. And this is very much an adult man dealing with stuff, or young adult man they're trying to portray. Because, like, let's be honest, he's still supposed to be only college age in this film, which is a good 10 years, you know.
What, early 20s?
Yeah, like, you know, he's supposed to be 20, 21, 23 maybe if you're graduating, if you've done a long degree, like engineering like they're doing. I don't know, I'm just guessing. I don't know how the American college system works. All I know is they load you with debt and then you have to try and pay that off for the rest of your life. Oh.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like every system.
Ah, damn it. Yeah.
Okay. In terms of visuals, you know, and the music and everything like that, how did we feel? Like, did we enjoy it? The filmmaking side of it. Where are we at with that?
Yeah, I think it was all good.
I'm not a filmmaker. I'm unqualified to answer this from any technical perspective. But I would have appreciated more Spidey music.
Okay.
It did feel a little like more ba-ba-ba.
It's so well known. I mean, look, thankfully, and I've got to say one shining glory about it, it didn't go back and give us an origin story about how he got his powers. So I'm okay with that.
Why would you do that in the fourth solo film?
This is the problem with the majority of superhero films you get. It's like, okay, we need to explain to the audience how this person became a superhero. It's like, again? We know
we've
this.
Already not done that. I feel like we're past it.
But I mean, it's one of the tropes of superhero films that I get very exhausted with very quickly, which is like, oh, it's Blade 3. You're going to explain to me at one point, one character is going to explain how Blade became a Daywalker. I mean, the third one in, man. And as we said, this was the, you know, what, third, seventh Spider-Man
70th
film?
Spider-Man
movie. Yes.
So that's a plus.
Predacanga brings up, like, how the suit looked, not so CGI, felt more like do it in an actual suit.
Because it is less CGI. There are actual wrinkles in this suit.
The last one we saw was the
spider.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm like, what was that fucking called again? It was called something. And that one was like a totally CGI one with the gold on it.
There was another one in between, I think, the one that Peter makes on the plane.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. In between Iron Spider and this one. But this one, they have done a really nice job of using him losing all of his resources as an excuse to go back to very comic book. Still, all cosplayers look at things like this and go, no, you didn't. Like, there is so much complicated work that goes into making a suit that looks like that with all of the webbing detailing on it that you did not make in, like, with no sewing ability whatsoever.
You didn't sew this shit yourself? That bullshit.
No.
You didn't screen print your fabrics?
Yeah. But I think that it's more believable that he would have made this one than the Iron Spider.
Well, as you know, he's got that 3D printer that seems to be able to do anything that he puts into a computer. I don't know.
Well, he just kept something from Stark Industries.
Yeah, like maybe a couple of things. Yeah. Maybe that's why he's so poor. Maybe he took all of his inheritance and just plugged it into that one machine.
Shout out to his new AI called Evie, voiced by Naomi Watts.
Oh.
Does anybody know what EV stands for? Because I don't.
Emergency vehicle.
Electronic vehicle?
In the context of this movie?
Maybe.
And is it letter E, letter V, or is it EV like the Pokemon?
No.
Does he just like Pokemon?
No, it's the letters EV.
Experimental volume.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Electronic voice.
I think we'll have to ask Google No AI, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Electronic voice makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. All right, we need to get into the spoiler section now, so in order to keep us all on track. So we need ratings, so think of your ratings now, please, while we're going through this, and then I'm going to decide, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do for a clip. We'll do something. It'll be fun. Anyone in the chat, give us a rating. It helps Quinny do math, and we all know he needs the practice.
We don't do them out of 10 straight away.
No, not out of 10. Oh, but like, goodness. Beck, if you want to make it out of 10, that's okay. We will just add a zero to it.
Yeah, I'll put a zero on the end. It's fine.
What, 80 out of 10? You can't do that, Beck. That doesn't make any sense. So many out of 100.
Casper loved the movie.
Wow, yeah. Mine too.
Well, yeah. Look, I mean, there's some pretty big numbers dropping there.
There are some huge numbers.
Based on the past, Homecoming we gave Homecoming 92%. Far From Home got 94. No Way Home got 94. So
Homecoming, I still rank in my top three superhero movies of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I do think like a fight. It's excellent.
I mean, I do think Homecoming is a fucking great film. Like, it's got some like the sequence with the fucking vulture in the car working out that it's the dad. That shit is fucking pure cinema. That's amazing. Yeah, so I can go.
The traffic light changing.
Oh, yeah. And I love that so much that was set up back then is still paying off here. Like, you know, we've got characters from that first film, namely Scorpion, showing up fucking four films later to finally be the bad guys that we've known them to be. I dig that. You know, there's references to the Shocker gauntlets from that film. Like, and funnily enough, what Damage Control is doing in this is exactly what those bad guys were doing back in Homecoming. You know, repurposing tech just for...
Well, it's very Tony Stark is a good guy because he's doing it above board.
Yeah.
Whereas other people are the bad guys because they're selling weapons under the table. Like, what's the difference?
Indeed. Okay, who wants to go first on their ratting?
I will give a 75.
Oof.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was...
You say woof. That's a good rating. Every time, periodic table friends, every time.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but I wasn't like blown away by it. It wasn't.
How many tits do you still have?
Both.
Right.
Both.
Yeah.
But I didn't go in with high expectations, so therefore I enjoyed the movie more. Because I wasn't trying to reach a goal. It wasn't my favorite Tom Holland Spider-Man film by a long shot, but it was still more enjoyable than I expected it to be.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. And there were some good performances.
There were. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Who wants to go next?
72. It's still a good rating.
Yeah, it is. It is, but why is everyone?
But
like
would
75?
I recommend if someone was like, "Hey, I'm not really familiar with Spider-Man. What movie would you suggest that I go and watch?" This would be not even cross my radar as one that they should go and watch to learn.
Definitely,
a Spidey.
Not. No.
Fair enough. Okay, sorry, I'm doing stuff. Dion, do you want to jump on in?
Oh, look, I was sitting around the same thing, but I have to adjust now to get lower. look, I'm going to give it 60. I had a fine time, but it just wasn't really like, I was just watching it going, oh, this is a bit weird. And, you know, they're doing a good job. Like, I still like the characters. I like Ned. I like Mary Jane. I like Peter Parker. I like the rogues gallery of people coming in and out. I feel like they threw a bit too many of other of the crossover things at it. Now I feel like I can't go and see a movie about a Marvel character without having at least five other Marvel characters show up just to make the audience go, ooh.
Okay, you know, fucking fine. No, I'm taking 5 points off. I'm going down to 70.
Fine. Thank you, Jill.
Yeah, Dion raised good points. I was like, this was really just filling a hole until the next movie. So
yeah.
And
I felt like it was just sort of sitting there going, hey, you know, and so many things that could have been done that were interesting. You know, they could have done Man-Spider. They could have gone through all of that just to be a bit weird because, you know, one of the better Spider-Man ones, which is the Miles Morales animated ones, they're fun because they're kind of weird. And they
didn't
left.
Count them in our spider.
No, we ignored them.
But I
to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, I like that. But you know, yeah, that's why I kind of went, it's just going through the motions. It's very long. You know, can I say
it was funny that they the actress that they cast for DeWolf because she voices Miles's mother in the animated films.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I was like, where are we going with this? Oh, no.
Oh yeah. Byron, who was sitting next to me, was 100% convinced that was going to be Miles's mom.
Yeah.
Right.
Except she's not a cop.
Uh-huh. I thought
but,
that
hey, different universes.
I thought that her and the Punisher were just heading back to the bear in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That like, too.
Haven't you got to get back to clock in for your shift?
I missed out on all of Quinny's theories throughout the movie because he and Byron sat together so they could hold hands.
No. I don't have any theories in the movie. Okay. I have all of my theories before the movie and after the movie. And in the movie, I shut the fuck up.
I actually had to
give Byron a little bit of a buddy.
I need you to not shut the fuck up, Quinny, and give us your rating.
90. I thought it was fucking great. I legitimately think it was one of the most fun Spider-Man films that I've seen in a while. I think it was a better film than
Because you haven't seen one in years?
No, because I think it's a very well-made film. It is tightly scripted all the way through. It is super tight in terms of all of the points that if you try and pull one thread out of this, like the whole thing kind of doesn't work. Feel free to argue the point.
I'll tell you the thread. We'll find the thread in spoiler territory.
We're more than welcome to. But I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I was like, this is a really, really enjoyable film. So, you know, you can all suck a dick.
And on that, we're going to go.
A big old spider
and maybe
dick.
I will.
We're just going to go to a little
spider clip. Spider dick.
We're going to go watch a clip and attack Quinny while we're off mic.
Okay. No. Do all your attacking on mic.
Your whimper.
You can't just shoot yourself out of every situation. Innocent people get hurt.
What do you think's downrange of that tank, dum-dum? Shoot yourself.
Yes, there we go. Good old Spider-Man versus Punisher. How did they get into this situation?
They're in New York.
Something happened.
Might have to watch a movie Staten
Island. On Staten Island.
Something happened on Staten Island. They got into a situation.
I haven't just missed something.
Are we muted?
No. It's fixed.
No.
Fixed. Talking about
right. Okay.
Fixed. Our little graph goes
I'm
up.
I'm assuming I didn't miss something.
You
where
did not miss
we
something.
Know
no.
that.
No, we don't know.
On Staten
no.
Island. This is
we
a,
were going to get like something. Okay. In the DVD extras, it's like a funny thing happened on the way to Staten Island and
it will all be solved.
Oh, a funny thing happened on the way to Staten Island.
I don't even remember when they used to do those.
Yeah,
those Avengers
they had little
DVDs.
One-shots. They were fucking great. And yes, Casper, it's very much Budapest.
Yes.
It's a bit.
You know, referencing a thing that happened off screen.
And anyone watching or listening right now, watch out. It's time for spoiler time.
Spoiler time. I'm very proud that I did not get spoiled for that character reveal.
Fucking oath.
Before I saw that movie.
How zero chill the internet has been. It's just like, we're in spoilers. Yeah.
You saw the guy that was interviewing.
Fucking seconds later, I was like,
no time.
Yeah. Did you see the guy that was doing the interviews of the cast on the red carpet at the premiere do the spoiler immediately and then get pulled 12 seconds after?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, fuck, really?
Did you miss that one?
No, I did not.
Did someone sniper him?
Just like.
No, Disney. I think Disney just kind of did. They're like, as soon as he said it, they cut the feed and they dragged him off stage and put two
they
in.
Covered him.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't shocked because I didn't have any expectations. I hadn't seen a cast list. I hadn't seen a trailer. I hadn't seen anything before I entered this movie.
Okay.
So I had no idea what was coming, what to expect. I have never seen Sadie Sink in anything before. I don't know who this person is.
You never watched Stranger Things?
No.
Damn.
I've seen maybe the first season of Stranger Things and that was when it first came out. So I don't know. I had absolutely no preconceived notions, not just of who this character might be, but who this character might be as a result of who it's being played by. And apparently there's a lot of conjecture around, well, she's a redhead and plays redheads, so must be a redheaded character.
I mean, I did say something similar, like when somebody said, oh, I think it's going to be Gwen Stacy. And I'm like, why would you hire a well-known redhead actress?
Especially when they hired a redheaded actress and put her in a blonde wig.
Yeah.
It's like,
what did I say in the car, Quinny, to that? MJ is black.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
We cannot make these assumptions in this universe.
Yes. I mean, look, I quite enjoyed the Jean Grey subplot. I thought that was actually an emotionally interesting and different way to introduce mutant stuff in there by giving her a bit of a backstory and then having a drive.
I wasn't expecting it. I was almost at the point of like, is this an alternate universe Mary Jane?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because like it was the jumping from person to person thing that threw me off, because that was never ever really presented as Jean Grey's telepathic powers before.
No.
So yeah.
Look, and
I wonder
like,
if we're going to get a more interesting Jean.
Having
that would be refreshing.
Hey, you motherfucker! I found Kate Jensen alone. She did a great job.
I was thinking at the end of this film, I'm like, just wait, girl. There's an old pervert out there waiting for you.
Yeah. What I liked about this version, though, is that, like, this is the first time that we've actually seen a Jean Grey introduced where the darker side of her personality is actually introduced up front, as opposed to kind of shoehorned in through
retcon
via fucking the whole Dark Phoenix thing. Sure. It's like, at least if they want to go down that path down the track, at least we're now going to buy it. It's like, okay, sure. We've seen her basically kill people. Yeah, she's kind of fucked up.
Again, this is what I kind of say one of my problems with the film is why am I having a Jean Grey experience in a Spider-Man movie?
Because we're trying to introduce the X-Men, Dion.
Only to immediately...
This is a vehicle for other films.
But only to immediately get rid of them while we do a reboot in the proper MCU area. I mean, come on.
No, she is part of the reboot.
Yeah, but I mean, they've got a Professor X and he's getting on. They better hurry up.
I was waiting for an end credit scene where she arrives at school.
Yeah.
Like, I 100% believed that was coming. There was no question in my mind, and it just didn't.
We kind of got that. She was heading north, like upstate New York.
Yeah, but you wanted to see her get to the school.
There's no like Professor Xavier's like plaque that you drive past. Like that's the shot, right?
Yeah.
Where was it? It wasn't there. Again, I'm not a filmmaker. Who knows? Maybe I'm just talking.
I think
they
were being subtle.
Now that we're into the spoiler section, can we just rattle off all the additional people who are referencing somewhere else that we had in this film? Because we not only had Spider-Man and his stuff. Like, I'm not going to include Scorpion because he's Rogues Gallery. We had Yelena Romanoff. So
her last name is not Romanoff,
isn't it?
Nope.
Oh,
they're not actually related.
It's Belova.
But
she is the Black Widow. Black Widow.
All Russians have the same name, Dion.
They're not real.
Not
sisters,
all Black Widows
Dion.
Have the same name.
Is Yelena Belova? They all sound.
Yelena was an excellent addition.
They all sound the same, and they're all criminals. That's all I know about Russians. Yeah. All right. Okay. So you had Bruce Banner. And it's always a delight watching Mark Ruffalo on screen. Although in this one, I was a little bit like, really? Okay. Who else did we have in there? We had Frank Castle's The Punisher. Jean Grey, obviously. Was there anyone that I missed?
In terms of extraneous characters.
Was egregious. Yeah.
No,
Wow. Four characters.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't feel like there was too many or anything.
But I mean, I feel like unless they were there for a particular reason, like I find it very hard to believe that Bruce Banner has just taken a life teaching physics at a university now after
so being I don't.
Why is the Hulk?
Bruce Banner's whole purpose there is one of those little bit of loose ends that I wish we'd delved into a little bit more.
Mm.
I don't think we had the time for it, but he was very much on the... careful, Peter, you're leaning into eugenics here situation.
And here's a little reminder.
And Peter was like, cool story, I'm going to do it anyway.
But here's the reminder of looking forward. We can now, with great joy, be aware that Spider-Man is the person who invented the mutant suppression collars.
Yay!
Like, mutants all over the world are going to hate those collars for the rest of fucking their lives and be going, fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can follow that back to him doing the suppression stuff on Doc Ock. Like, the thing to keep the tentacles in at bay. And I'm like, yes, it's fucking deep nerd shit, but, like, that's what I'm here for.
I mean, that's actually kind of an interesting plot point to go through there, is, like, who is the worst person, like, the worst, one of the worst characters for mutant kind? Oh, it's Spider-Man.
Yeah. Just accidentally invented a terrible fucking thing.
And I do think that this comes back to that, the ending moment of him being like, I'm both, like, embracing both sides of him.
Nope.
No, we've lost her.
No, Beck needs to pedal faster.
Yeah, not me for the first time ever.
My God. I mean, the gravitas upon which he's willing to give.
Yeah, it's give very, all. Very cinematic.
We love this.
Speaking
of spoilery things, do you think that, was there anything in this that made you excited for Avengers Doomsday, which is coming up?
No.
Not a sausage.
Which is weird, isn't it?
I'm really not interested in that movie much at all anymore.
And I was kind of disappointed with the post-credit scenes, because it was just a long wait for nothing, really.
But yeah, it didn't really explain much or give us much information about where we might see Spider-Man next.
I mean, possibly a Battleworld kind of reference or something like that for Secret Wars or whatever. But yeah, it's not a particularly good tease. But also, I mean, I kind of had similar things at the end of fucking Fantastic Four. I was like, oh, okay, that's a kind of shit hook. What I found interesting is that, like, there has obviously been a conscious decision at Marvel to kind of go, okay, we don't necessarily have to beat the shit out of everybody to come to an ending. Like, you look at the ending of this and the ending of Thunderbolts, and there is a thing of going, okay, well, let's look at what the emotional arc is as much as the big, you know, Skybeam arc. No Skybeams, none of that. This is an emotional payoff that's about going, hey, you know, you're not alone. You are, you know, and for me, that kind of worked. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but
no, but it was nice to have, like, the little fan club outside the hospital at the end, and, you know, him getting to walk into that crowd and you know, feel the fans.
So one thing I have seen and she has said out loud publicly, Rosario Dawson was originally in the film. As her character of the night nurse from all Claire. Of the, yeah, and most people are kind of going, that would have been a real good reason why he was able to get treatment without everybody knowing who the fuck he was. That, and having Frank with a gun next to him saying, don't fucking look.
Sure.
Yeah. But, you know, that makes it an even longer film.
Yeah.
And we didn't want that.
Yeah.
Beck, what was that whole thread that you wanted to cut to shorten this film?
Yeah.
The thread that was to be cut was Byron's idea to begin with, and I originally was opposed, but I've been convinced. So let me introduce you. The whole inhibitor overheating, it can all be cut. The fact that the inhibitor overheats creates this whole plot line where Zendaya gets to show off. Because she's Zendaya in everything she's in. I know she's MJ. Yeah. But Zendaya gets to show off how brilliant she is. And they make a little connection, but it doesn't actually do anything for the story. That the inhibitor overheats does not need to exist. And it adds, probably, if you think of all of the threads that connect to that, to the overheating of the inhibitor, it adds probably a good 5-10 minutes to the film.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And I did not like that suggestion, because I really like the moment of him and MJ, you know, working on the piece together, and the opportunity to show a woman being brilliant and doing something that the brilliant man was unable to work out, and yeah, kind of going, have you considered this is wonderful?
You still kind of get the same thing from her finding the letter later.
Yes.
And then getting that beat from there.
Mm. Yeah. So even though I was originally a bit hesitant about that, I think that it can be done without.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. That is definitely a unnecessary plot point, especially considering so much of that whole thing doesn't play out to being, you know, him transforming into Man Spider or anything like that. Or
no. And what I was saying before my internet rudely cut me off was there is really no comeuppance for him at all of just leaning into his spider side. We don't see, like, he almost kills a police officer when his spider side takes over earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
And there's none of that later, when all he apparently had to do was say, I'm both Spider-Man and Peter Parker, and they work harmoniously all of a sudden. Magic.
And then he's got.
That's what puberty felt like for me. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm bi. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Turns out I just need to accept these new organs growing in my wrist that can spurt out in a fucking conical shape a whole bunch of webs everywhere that looks a little weird.
Yep. Have you tried just being happy with who you are? Because that fixes everything.
Does it?
Suddenly you're not accidentally killing people.
Look, I've tried words of affirmation in the mirror in the morning and gotta say, it didn't really work. I just felt like a dickhead.
He didn't try that.
No.
I feel like that's what we were missing, was a Peter Parker in front of the mirror telling himself how worthy he is.
Yeah. I mean, just look at your own butt in those juicy couture pants.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty...
That's an ego boost.
I'm pretty sure Yelena and Frank Castle are doing the MLM, you know, kind of like, yeah, I need to convince myself you're good, you're worthy. Mm. You're going to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad and kind of brings friends. Up the good point of MJ's boyfriend. There's a character that we lost entirely.
Someone that was in a movie for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, this is one of the reasons that conversation with Zendaya and Spidey in, like, and Peter is important, because in that conversation, she explains that the relationship is not super important. So we feel less bad about Peter coming in on this space. He's less of a dick if you know that relationship is not a long-term super high investment thing.
Sure, but it also didn't need to exist and you would have got the same result.
Yeah.
No, but we still had to see him, like Peter had to see that and be heartbroken, didn't he?
Look, he fucking sat around for fucking years.
I'm sorry.
It'll get off the pot, Pete.
Yeah. Years of stalking does not make this look like Peter Parker is a particularly good person.
Though he does cop to it that there was a non-consensual kiss. And I think that was really important.
Beautiful and not something we would have seen in a movie written 10 years ago, I think.
No fucking way. Yeah, I thought that was a nice moment to go, hey, something pretty fucked up happened and you don't even know about it, but I need to cop to it.
Can we, on a related note, just mention that all of the internet discourse, particularly from men, who say, if a woman told me she wasn't in love with me, I wouldn't take her home afterwards, you are wanks.
Wow, assholes much.
This is why they choose the acting in the bear.
The whole... Peter Parker is such a good guy because he took her home after she said that she didn't love him, because she literally didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
She had no memory of him. And then she was like, I have no phone. I have no way to get home. Sorry, I know this is awkward. Can you possibly get me home safely? That's not a good guy thing to do. That's literally bare minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a decent human being.
To be completely honest, I would have just, like, if I were Peter Parker, I would have just called an Uber. I probably wouldn't have physically swung that person through the streets home.
I mean, even that is still something.
Yeah.
But
I
think what Beck is saying is that a lot of Uber people exist, like, fuck
this
you.
Universe? I don't know. Yeah, a lot of people are like, no, just leave the bitch.
Everyone's wait, why?
And that
no.
is why you'll die alone.
Yeah.
Never do that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, anything else? Anything else has anyone got?
I mean, okay. In terms of the Jean Grey stuff, do we have any problems with how she... Like, I've seen a bunch of people get really pissy about the fact that she body jumps through multiple people and then ends up in the helicopter. And then how does she get from the helicopter to MJ's apartment? Are we all okay with that?
It's so dark. She kills him as he falls out of the helicopter because she's controlling this guy. She yeets him out of the helicopter, lets him die, and as she's getting towards the ground, she's close enough to hop, so she just hops.
Also,
or you just let go.
Yeah, or just let go exactly. And then pick a new person and start hopping again.
Pick your own adventure, Jill.
Okay, so what we're saying is Beck has a sociopathic tendency and Jill has a pragmatic tendency.
And yes, there is the old guy that she just lets get hit by a car. So that's you know, that's a whole thing.
Yeah, but I mean, again, this is the interesting thing about the Jean Grey subplot, which is like, oh yeah, she's a kid. She hasn't done any of this. She's not there. I actually didn't have a problem with that narrative. I just think it should have been in a different film because it didn't really have too much to do with Spider-Man. Like, is there any particular reason she was attacking Spider-Man? Yeah, it's because she couldn't get in his head. Why?
Spider magic.
Maybe it's because he was a man.
We needed Aunt May to come back and talk some sense into her.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
She had to have her Aunt May moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
she had to have her great power, great responsibility moment.
Sure.
And whoops, we killed Marissa Tomei. So we've got to find a way to bring her back. Yeah.
Yes. The magical mystic auntie who will turn up and give sage advice at the right time.
Yeah.
This is a better Martha scene. Yeah, it's definitely better than your mom's called Martha.
My mom's called Martha. Now we're best friends.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Deus ex Marthana.
Marthana, fuck.
Gosh.
Anyway, Spider-Man Brand New Day. I don't really care because it has made a fuck ton of money and it's fine. Everyone has gone to see it.
Good for them.
Good for them.
And Tom Holland still has not earned as much from these movies as Toby did from his.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that's because Tom's got a shit agent. But you know what Tom is doing? Working. And what is Toby doing?
Being the bad guy in a Hollywood poker ring.
You know, what is Tobey Maguire doing? Waiting for Marvel to call him back and saying, yeah, well, we can offer you scale to come back into another Spider-Man movie. The fans kind of want it. Whereas Tom Holland is like, what do you got for me? Another 23 Marvel films? Sure.
Whereas Andrew Garfield is out there just living his best beardy fucking weirdo life.
Sure.
Yes. I love in this movie, I said this many times and I will say it again, they gave Peter Parker mask hair.
Mm.
Andrew Garfield never had mask hair.
Oh, right.
You take the mask off, his hair is coiffed perfectly.
And so
his hair
be.
Is so big, it's full of secrets.
Yeah.
Like, Andrew Garfield's hair is incredible. Tobey Maguire already had a comb over. He wasn't missing out on much. So Tom Holland, though, has the... full of secrets sometimes, but in this movie they take the mask off and he is actually affected by having had the mask on. I like it. It's a bit of realism.
I did like the one costume, Spider-Man costume in this that I thought was fun, which was Winter Spider. I love that.
With the vest?
With the vest and the beanie. And he's just like, it's fucking cold, man. I'm like,
it's cold.
I also love that Ned is such a nerd for this stuff. He's like, where do you go to pee?
Just on a roof. Pick a roof.
Yeah, just off a roof.
You just go home? What do you do?
Is Ned going to be Hobgoblin? He has the name.
I'd love to see it, but I can't imagine it.
I mean, it would be interesting to see how they do that. And it's only if he's flying around on a, like, hover snowboard that I will accept
it. Oh, fuck.
Yes, that's from The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
No, that was just Spider-Man. What? No, that was Spider-Man 3.
The Andrew Garfield fought the Hobgoblin on a thing, didn't
nope.
he?
Nope.
Fuck.
That was fucking Franco. James Franco on a hoverboard.
No. Hang on.
Gonk.
Gonk.
Yeah. Gonk. Job done.
Gonk.
Wait.
You know, good point. Well made. Fair enough. Hang on, I'm just finding the gong.
No, it was Amazing Spider-Man number 2 in 2014 because it was Dane DeHaan.
Oh, fuck.
Yep. There you go. Anyway, what are we doing next week?
That's a good fucking question. I can't remember.
I'm going to Pilates. Who wants to come with me?
No, Beck, don't steal our audience.
Yeah.
Next. I'll be live streaming my Pilates class. If you'd please, like to join Beck, me.
We only have 5 people in the chat.
Yeah, we need
and
all of
them. They're our favorite 5 people.
Yeah, we love them.
But now
I just imagine
Casper
rocking up at your Pilates and just dropping subs on everybody. It's not that kind of event, sir.
Hey, do they have ClassPass, Beck? That's a subscription.
They don't, but and it is a women's only gym, so that's why it will have to be live streamed. You can't come in person, unfortunately.
Right. Next week, we are looking out for Hannah Waddingham and Octavia Spencer, and we are Riding or Dying. So, yeah.
It is available at Amazon Prime Television. Go and watch that series to do the homework. It's quite good.
Yeah.
An excellent resume or pitch for Hannah Waddingham to be a James Bond or Jane Bond.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for checking out.
Thanks for having me. I hope I didn't cause issues.
Why would you?
I don't know, because I'm a bitch.
Because
all I want to do is talk about Tom Holland and then also what my boyfriend thought of the movie.
Well, you know what? Anytime we do something with Tom Holland, you are welcome.
Yeah. Thanks. So The Odyssey, let's do it.
I still haven't been and seen it.
I ain't seen that one yet either. Well, we can talk about that Tom Holland film where he can read people's minds and stuff, and it's fucking terrible.
Doesn't that one also have Daisy
Chaos
Ridley
Walking or something?
We did that one.
I know. We can talk about it again. It's still fucking terrible.
No, right. Let's go back to The Impossible when he was a little kid.
No.
That was a good sad movie.
Good.
Drunk Odyssey. How has no one seen The Odyssey? We've had other things to do with our lives, Julie.
Yeah, yes.
I haven't. I haven't had anything else to do. I've seen it.
If I have a spare 3 hours, I'm not going to be sitting in a movie.
Yeah. Looks pretty.
You know, like, I'm just waiting until I get my, Game Boy Color repaired and then I can watch it like Nolan intended.
Can I just say, I got through this whole review of Spider-Man without saying anything was problematic. And I think that's worth celebrating.
I love it, Beck. The only problematic thing you've had all night has been your internet. And this one, it's not Quinny. It's fantastic.
Thank you for making me look good.
I think it's sexist. Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, everyone.
We're going to head off. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, everyone.
Next week.
Enjoy the rest of your week.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.
You in 6 months. Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.